اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يقربنا إليك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا نوينا التعلم والتعليم والنفع والانتفاء والمذاكرة والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على تمس بكتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعاء الهدى ودراء الخير بتقوى الله ورضاته وقرب ثوابه سبحانه أمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. So inshallah we will be continuing our Roha lessons inshallah with the reading of Knowledge and Wisdom by Sayyidina al-Imam Abdullah bin Ali al-Haddad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So we have reached to chapter number 19, The Pursuit of Worldly Pleasures. Tafaddal.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Pursuit of Worldly Pleasures. In this world, those who possess the utmost in comfort enjoy the greatest pleasures and are most intent on pursuing them, are also the weariest, most fatigued, endangered, worried, stressed, and aggrieved of all. Such is the plight of the kings and the rich. On the other hand, those who possess the fewest comforts and pleasures and are the least desirous of them are the least worried, fatigued, endangered, worried, and stressed. Such are the poor and the indigent. The reason behind this is that the delights, comforts, and passions of the world are in their very essence troubling, disturbing, and stressful. Also, those who jostle, compete, and envy others for them are quite numerous. This is why it is extremely exhausting, hazardous, and aggrieving to pursue, enjoy, protect, and multiply these things. The more one takes from the world and its pleasures, the more one pursues and craves for them, the more one's problems, dangers, worries, and sorrows multiply. On the other hand, the less one desires and pursues the world's pleasures, the less one's exhaustion, dangers, worries, and sorrows become. One can observe how kings and wealthy people are among the most tired, worried, aggrieved, and endangered of all people. Some of them hazard their very souls and endanger their hearts in pursuing their desires and passions, or in protecting and multiplying them. This is quite evident to any intelligent observer. As for the poor and the indigent, they are the least worried and aggrieved of all, for they demand but little of the pleasures of the world and its passions, either by choice, as do the enunciates, or by necessity, as those people who are weak and do not entertain such ideas, let alone actively pursue them. Both have fewer worries and fewer sorrows. Know that those who demand from the world the need sufficient for only one day are less stressed and worried than those who demand the need sufficient for a week. Those who seek a week's need are less worried than those who seek a month's. And those who seek a month's need are less worried than those who seek a year's. Those whose desire are confined to themselves are less stressed and worried than those who desire for themselves and for others. As demands grow, so do troubles, worries, and sorrows, as though the pleasures and comforts that a man finds in the world are on one side of the scales, while the hardship, danger, and grief they endure are on the other, usually balancing each other. There are individual differences, and one side may outweigh the other a little, but never very much. This is what happens to two different groups in this world, what they endure in their lifetime. As for the hereafter, it would take too long to discuss or even simply to enumerate the well-known hadiths and long to discuss or even and other sayings describing what those who run after pleasures and appetites in this world will undergo. They will be called to account and will meet with chastisement, hardship, and great terror. On the other hand, the poor and the indigent hope and expect happiness, honor, success, and repose, as is well known from much textual evidence. Therefore, if you desire rest in this world, relinquish your quest for rest in it. A wise man once asked, "To whom does the hereafter belong?" He replied, "To those who seek it." Then he was asked, and to whom does this world belong? He replied, to those who forsake it. When Ibrahim ibn Adham saw a sorrowful Sufi, he said to him, worry not nor grieve. Were kings to know what tranquility is ours, they would fight us for it with their swords. The cause of his, i.e. Ibrahim's abandoning his worldly position and ephemeral kingship, is that he once looked out of his palace window at midday and saw a poor man taking refuge in the shade of the palace. The man took out a flat loaf of bread, ate it, drank some water, and then laid down in the shade and went to sleep. Ibrahim liked what he saw, envying the man's peace of mind. So he sent someone with orders to fetch him as soon as he woke up. When the man was brought to Ibrahim, he said to him, you ate your loaf when you were hungry and were sated. The man said, yes. He said, then you slept and were rested. Again, the man answered, yes. So Ibrahim said to himself, if the soul can be satisfied with as little of the world as that, what have I to do with this world? At nightfall, he left the palace and all that it contained and devoted himself entirely to God the Exalted. What became of him is well known. You know now, from what has just been said, that the comforts of this world, its pleasures and its passions, are wearisome, perilous, alarming, grievous, and painful. Their increase always comes with an increase in these accompanying things and great vulnerability to them. When pleasures, comforts, and passions diminish, so too do weariness, peril, worry, and grief. And then one is more at ease. This is in addition to the sorry consequences awaiting the pleasure seekers in the hereafter, and the honors awaiting those who forsake those pleasures who left them either by choice or by force of circumstance. This is clear to anyone who reflects on it impartially.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Sayyidina al-Imam al-Haddad, radiallahu anhu, in this chapter, is describing for us a system, a way of existence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up in this world, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, La uqsimu bihadha al-balad, wa anta hillum bihadha al-balad, wa walidin wa ma walad, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi kabad. Surah al-Balad, in the last 30th of the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I swear by this city, of course, referring to Mecca. And thou art an indweller of this city. O blessed Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are from those who inhabit this city. And Allah is swearing by this city and its greatness. And Allah says, I swear by the begetter and that which he begat. Yani Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and all of the children of Adam. So the scholars of tafsir explain that Allah ta'ala, as you see in these last surahs of the Quran, towards the last part of the Quran, Allah makes a lot of aqsam, a lot of oaths. And Allah Ta'ala swears by anything, it's for Allah Ta'ala can swear by anything of His creation. But the believers, the Muslims, we don't swear by anyone other than Allah. So, but you'll see Allah never, it's a principle of tafsir that Allah does never swears by anything except by it's an indication of its greatness. Allah only swears by things of His creation which are great and exalted. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn oath by the great and blessed city of Mecca. And it is the city in which His blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born and was from. And by the Prophet Sayyidina Adam, the Walid, the forefather of all mankind. And all of that which He's begotten, meaning all of the children of Adam, including all of the prophets of them. And all of the righteous. So Allah swears by all of that to give the answer or to give the statement. What is the emphasized statement of that oath? Verily, we have created man in toil and struggle. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. So Allah Ta'ala explains here in this verse, and this is getting to the heart of what Imam Al-Haddad rahimahullah ta'ala is saying in this chapter, is that from the essence of the creation of the human being, and our existence, is that Allah has created us in this toil and struggle by our very nature. That the ulama explained that Allah Ta'ala made us think about this. Allah made us the weakest of His creation. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man has been made so weak. But despite that, He has given the mankind the greatest of burdens.
the burdens which the mountains were unable to bear, that Bani Adam took this burden, this amana, this yani, this trust of carrying yani the burden of actions and deeds on this earth, right? Bani Adam has taken this upon themselves, despite that we are the weakest of his creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our existence in this, by our very essence of our existence, is hardship, is struggle. And so if you just, let's just reflect about our lives, where we start from, each and every one of us, coming out of the wombs of our mothers, and what a trial and tribulation that is for the mother, for the family, but lest we forget, for that newborn child as well. It's perhaps the greatest tribulation for that child, that newborn coming out of its mother, and all of the tribulations it comes out. And the very first thing it does is it starts crying, and it has to have its umbilical cord cut, and all of the pain. And it's in this new world, after being so peaceful in the womb of its mother, it's come into this world. And that's how each and every one of us starts our life. And then after that, what do we face? We face all those trials and tribulations of being an infant, of having to be accustomed to life in this world now, of eating and sleeping and taking from our mothers our nourishment, right? And then after that, having to be weaned off of the feeding of our mothers, and what a trial that is for the child, right? And then having their teeth come in, what another pain and trial that is for them. And then they get a little bigger, and then they're now like a toddler, and now they're a small child, and everywhere they go, they're being reprimanded, and they're being corrected, and they're being told, you can't do this now, and you can't do this now, and you can't play with that. And so they're constantly in this struggle. And so it continues, the young person, and then being a young person, then they get a little bit older, and they have to face adolescence, and all the trials and tribulations of adolescence, of their body changing in so many ways, and responsibilities upon them increasing, right? And then it continues, and then they reach adulthood. And what happens? Only more concerns, more worries, more griefs. Right? That you have to study, and you have to go into the working world, and you have to face all the challenges of what they call the real world. And then it continues like this until the person, then they get married eventually, and they have to face the trials and tribulations of marriage with a new partner in their life, right? And all of that. And then eventually they have children, and now all of those trials and tribulations of raising those children, having patience on all of the challenges that comes with parenthood, right? And it continues like that until the person and all of the trials and tribulations of earning their living and raising their household, right? And then what? Eventually they get to where do they get to in the end? They get to their old age, and in their old age, what do they have? This body part is starting to hurt. They're getting weak. They can't sleep. And it just continues, all of this toil and struggle. The more we reflect on our life in this world, it is a toil and a struggle and a hardship from the moment we entered this world all the way right up until the last moments when we leave this world, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَقَرَاتِ, that death has these, it has these intoxication. The pain of death, the pain of that soul being pulled out of the body, and the hardships and challenges that come from that that death, that we really will not know what it is until we experience it. We ask Allah Ta'ala for husnul khatimah. So reflecting upon this verse, Allah Ta'ala created the human being by his essence in toil and struggle, in hardship. Sayyid. So the one who seeks, Imam al-Haddad in this chapter, is reminding us that the one who seeks to escape the hardship and the toil and the struggle of this life, they would never be able to attain it. The human being becomes deluded and feels like, my troubles and my hardships that I'm facing in life, it's because, I'm poor, I don't have the wealth to fulfill the needs of myself and my family. If only I was wealthy like so-and-so, then I would be able to afford this and that. And then I would be able to, I would have this burden relieved of all of this, that these challenges that I'm facing. And so everyone, the deluded ones in this world, they're constantly looking to those who have more than them. And they have this sense or this feeling that if only they could just reach that point, then these troubles would be lessened. They would be relieved. And what Imam al-Haddad is directing us to understand is that no, it's not because Allah has put you at a certain level in this world, in your rizq, in your wealth, in your status. And because you didn't get to some higher level, that you it's because of that that your problems are coming. But rather, this is the very essence and nature of Allah's creation of you. This is the nature of the human being. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Sahih Hadith in Bukhari Muslim, he says, which we all heard the hadith, لو كان لي ابن آدم واديان من مال لابتغى ثالثا. If Bani Adam, the children of Adam, again connecting it now to Adam, just like the verse Innal insana innam, that Allah Ta'ala, the verse that we recited, that laqad khalaqna al insana fi kabad, right? Connected to Bani Adam, because this is by the very nature of the human being that Allah created them in this toil and struggle. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasizing it in this Sahih Hadith, that if the child of Adam, the son of Adam, meaning all of mankind, if one of them was to have two valleys full of wealth, full of riches and gold and jewels and everything that they could desire, they'd only wish for a third one. وَلَا يَمْلَأُ جَوْفَ بْنِ آدَمْ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. Nothing will fill the stomach of the son of Adam except the dirt of his grave. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indicating, again, emphasizing that nature of the human being. That the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this human being is with a certain hirs, a certain deep desire of this world and its wealth and its pleasures. And it's ajib how it's wondrous how Allah has created this world and its wealth and its pleasures. The more a person attains them, the more a person wants them. It's like an intoxication. It's like that wine, that the more that one sip leads to another and one glass leads to another, until the person is so intoxicated they don't know up from down or left from right. And this is the nature of the world and its intoxication, right? That the more that a person attains it, the more that they would wish that they had it. This is the state of the majority of the children of Adam. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same hadith, indicates saying, وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ, that Allah would forgive the ones who turns to Him in forgiveness. Indicating to us that there is a way out for this. There is a way out from this way that Allah has created the human being of desiring this world and then attaining something of it through all of that hard struggle and then only desiring more. The way out is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if your hirs, your desire of this world and constantly wanting more of it is a type of sin. It's a type of sin, because the Messenger of Allah says, وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ. The one who repents to Allah Ta'ala for this sin of constantly desiring more of this world, right? It's as if the Messenger of Allah is telling you it's a sin. And the way out is also being mentioned, that extracting this desire, extracting this this intoxication of love of this world and its wealth and its pleasures is something, so impossible, so difficult, because it's Allah has put it into the very essence of the creation of Bani Adam. But it is easy for the one that Allah makes it easy for. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the way out is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincerely repenting to Him for the love and the desire of this world, and Allah ta'ala would open up one's heart to have this desire removed from them. The majority of Bani Adam, not necessarily all of Bani Adam, Allah has made it from the essence of the creation of Bani Adam to be this way, to have this desire for this world, right? And that the more that someone gets of it, the more they wish of it. But it's not necessarily all of them, that there is a way out, that the way is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask and turn to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve one from this from this disease of loving of this world, and that Allah Ta'ala would make it easy for the one who turns to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the nature of the world The nature of this world and the way Allah created it is that the more of it you acquire, speaking of things like wealth, speaking of things like pleasures and luxuries, speaking of things as well like fame and status amongst people, right? Because there gets a point where a person acquires yani things of this world of wealth and things, and it's no longer that wealth that they seek, it's rather its power, its authority, its status. In fact, this power and authority and status amongst people is even more intoxicating than wealth itself. And this is why the people of Allah, they say, the very last thing to be removed from the hearts of the people of Allah is hubur riyasa, love of leadership. The very last thing. They work hard all their lives worshipping Allah Ta'ala and struggling to eliminate from their heart these diseases. And the very last thing they're able to free themselves of is this love of leadership, right? So this love of fame and status and authority and rank amongst people is even more difficult to remove than love of wealth itself. But all of them together, they are yani the love of this world. This world encompasses all of those things. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, Imam Tirmidhi narrates, "Ala inna dunya mal'una, mal'unun ma fiha illa dhikrullahi wa ma wala wa 'alimun wa mut'allimun." Pay attention, that tambih. "Ala inna dunya mal'una." Verily, this world is cursed. This world is cursed. You know, there's a story. It's interesting. There's a story. A British author authored back in the early part of the 20th century. W.W. Jacobs, his name. It's called The Monkey's Paw. It's a short story. It's interesting. In this story, a person gets yani from some shaman or some like wizard type person. He acquires this monkey's paw, which has like three fingers. And this monkey's paw, he's told, will grant you a wish of anything you desire for each of those three fingers, right? But the thing about the monkey's paw, it's actually a horror story, because that monkey's paw is cursed. Whatever the person wishes for, they get it. Whatever they desire, they get from those wishes from that paw. But then, in the end of the affair, those wishes and those things that were fulfilled for them turn out to be yani a curse upon them. And in the end, they wish that they had never acquired this in the beginning. So you see, yani, how it's amazing how when you so much of fiction that we have, both in the Western tradition and in other traditions, has yani origins that you'll find in our deen, in our Quran and Sunnah. So here you see the Messenger of Allah saying about this dunya in the hadith Imam Tirmidhi narrates, "In the dunya mal'un, mal'unun ma fiha." This world is cursed, and everything in it is cursed. Okay, which is maybe a very strong and powerful and yani shocking statement, but this is the reality. By the nature of this world, it's a curse. It's like that monkey's paw. You desire, it'll give you what you want. You seek after this dunya, you may get some of it. You may get some of what you desire, but it's a curse upon the person who seeks it. Because then they'll seek it and they won't be satisfied with it. They'll only wish for more. And then they'll get that and they'll only wish for more. And it will continue to pull them like this until it completely destroys them. And this is why the Messenger of Allah in another Sahih hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, one day when he saw them, a great amount of wealth had been collected from the lands of Bahrain and brought to Medina to be distributed in the masjid. And the Messenger of Allah saw a huge group of companions gathered in the masjid, the likes of which, yani, they had come from far and wide. When they heard that this great wealth was going to be distributed, which the Muslims had come into, that people had come from far and wide to the masjid after Salatul Fajr to be there for the distribution of this wealth. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, yani, wallahi, mal dunya akhsha alaykum, mal faqra akhsha alaykum. I swear by Allah, it's not poverty that I fear for you. Innama akhsha alaykum ad-dunya. Antubsat alaykum kama busidat ala man kana qablakum. I swear by Allah, I don't fear for you poverty. And speaking to this ummah, I only fear for you, yani, this world, that it would be opened up for you like it was opened up for the people before you. And then, فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا, that you would vie and compete in seeking this world the way the previous peoples did. فَتُهْلِكُكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْكُمْ, it would destroy you just as it destroyed the people before you. A sahih hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. You see, this world is cursed. And everything in it is cursed. Why? Because it's like that monkey's paw. Whenever you wish for something and you wish more for this dunya, seeking this dunya and its pleasures and its desires, it may be that Allah will give it to you, what you're seeking. And then, but it will not give you sakina. It will not give you any tranquility of the heart. You would only wish for more as the Messenger of Allah. That's the curse. The curse of this dunya is that the more you acquire of it, the more that you would wish for more of it. Like the Messenger of Allah says, if the child of Adam had the two valleys full of gold and wealth and jewels, he would only wish for the third. That's the curse of this world. The curse of this world, when it's sought, not for the sake of Allah and earning His pleasure and reward, as we'll speak about it towards the end, is that the curse of it is that it only increases the person in further desire of it. And so it drags that person further and further into delusion, until it completely destroys them with the diseases that come. Yani they, in another narration, it's been reported in a hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Hubbud dunya ra'su kulli khati'a." Love of this world, it is the head of every wrong act. It is the head of every sin. Yani the sin of hasad, jealousy. Where does it come from? Where and why do people become jealous of another? They see them having something of this world that they want, and they feel in their heart that, like, why did that person get it and why don't I have it? I deserve it more. Why do they have that house, that car? Why are they living that life? Or why do they have that status? Why do they have that rank? Why do they have that position? I should have it more. That's the essence of jealousy. Seeing a blessing Allah has given someone else in the creation and believing in your heart that you deserve it more than them. That's the essence of jealousy. You see how it's a branch from the branches of love of this dunya. If the person didn't have such a severe love and desire for this world, they wouldn't have that jealousy engendered in them, right? And so jealousy. And kibr, arrogance, that the person is so absorbed in this world that the standard of the way they judge mankind is the standard of this world. So they see themselves having more wealth, more status, more authority, more position. And so they begin to look down on others, right? This is the nature, this is the state of so many of mankind today, right? So do you see how so many of these diseases they have as their source, their essence, hubbud dunya, love of this world. And this is where the narration comes, that love of this world is the source of every type of wrongdoing, every type of sin, every type of disease of the heart, all of it, its essence springs from love of this world. So the Messenger of Allah says this world is cursed and all that's in it is cursed, except for the dhikr of Allah, mentioning of Allah, which encompasses all types of goodness, all types of actual worship, prayer, and actual making dhikr of tasbih and tahmid and tahleel, and then all types of beneficial knowledge, all types of beneficial counsel, and everything which calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا وَالَاهُ مَا وَالَاهُ everything that Allah loves. Everything that this religion has come to tell and teach is praiseworthy, then that is excluded from this curse. Then that gets excluded from the curse. وَعَالِمٌ وَمُتَعَلِّمٌ. And so then the Messenger of Allah makes it explicit, even though it could be included in the dhikr of Allah. One of the greatest forms of the dhikr of Allah is seeking sacred knowledge of this religion, teaching it and learning it as we are. We ask Allah to give us tawfiq in this right now that we're engaged in. That this right now has been explicitly excluded from that curse. Everything in this world is cursed except for the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. وَمَا وَالَاهُ, those things that Allah loves, that the Quran and Sunnah has indicated are praiseworthy and beloved to Allah. وَعَالِمٌ وَمُتَعَلِّمٌ, and seeking and a scholar of teaching sacred knowledge and a seeker of sacred knowledge. Those are excluded from the curse. And those things, would not have in them, this terrible outcome, right? But Allah would put blessing in them, right? So that when one goes out to seek their livelihood, right? One goes out to seek their livelihood, to earn a halal income for themselves and their family. That this doesn't, and in doing so, they have to do all types of hard struggle in seeking their education, their worldly, secular education. They have to go out and find a job. They have to go out and work hard and struggle hard to establish themselves. All of that they do with an intention for earning the halal, spending on themselves. Then this also gets excluded from that curse. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sahih Hadith having said in Sahih Bukhari, "Ma akala ahadun ta'amun qattu khayran min an ya'kula min amali yadayhi." Nobody ever ate any food more better, more virtuous than what their own hands had earned. No one eats any food, meaning metaphorically, anything of income, anything of risk, anything earning. No one takes anything of earning of this world better than that which their own hands had earned. وَإِنَّ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ دَاوُدْ كَانَ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدَيْهِ. And the prophet of God, Dawood, used to eat from what his own hands had earned. The messenger of Allah and other narrations informed, not a prophet of God came except that they practiced different professions from amongst them, shepherding. That they practiced professions that they had, they had livelihoods that they earned for themselves with. So, if the most beloved people to Allah, prophets and messengers, not a single one of them came except that they had a livelihood that they earned for themselves. So you understand then that this gets excluded when it's done from the right intention. So we should not misunderstand what's being said here, right? To be a curse necessarily for the affairs of all of this dunya, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted whatever Allah loves. And Allah loves for the believer that they struggle hard in this world to earn for themselves and their families so that they can avoid the haram, so that they can avoid asking people and being dependent upon people, right? And in another narration from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bata kallan min talab al halal bata maghfurun lahu. Whoever goes to sleep at night exhausted in seeking a halal livelihood for themselves, a permissible livelihood for themselves, they go to sleep forgiven. It's been narrated from the Messenger of Allah. So we want to make that very clear. Yani all of this, these strong words of that this world is cursed, that that love of this world is the source of every wrongdoing and every sin. It means loving of this world, seeking of this world, to that which leads one to delusion and forgetfulness and heedlessness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not included in that is a person going into this world to seek the permissible that Allah has made permissible for themselves and their families as Allah has commanded. But rather, when that is done with a righteous intention, then that becomes from the greatest of deeds that one can do and the greatest of worship. Right, so that becomes from the accepted and it gets excluded from that curse. Sayyib. So, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains. So you see how Imam al-Haddad is explaining to us that the people who seek this world and remain under that curse that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, they never acquire what they desire. They never get satisfied with the amount of this world that they acquire. But rather, the more they attain of it, the more that they wish to seek it even further. And it keeps pulling him like this, right? They say that one of the root meanings of the word dunya in Arabic is to reach out for grapes that you cannot reach. You reach out for grapes that you cannot acquire. And that's the nature of this dunya, is that the more that you try to get it, grasp it, and pull it, the more that it just gets farther from you. That you'll never actually be able, it's like reaching out for something that you will never be able to get to, right? And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, he ties and connects this desire and this seeking of this world with heedlessness, with forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He ties it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his hadith to these stress and anxiety and worries that Imam al-Haddad is speaking to you about in this chapter. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kanat al-akhirah hammuhu, ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi, wa jama'a lahu shamlahu, wa atathu ad-dunya wa hiya raghima. Wa man kanat ad-dunya hammuhu, ja'ala Allahu faqrahu bayna 'aynayhi, wa farraqa 'alayhi shamlahu, wa lam yatihi min ad-dunya illa ma quddira 'alayhi. Hadith narrated in Sunan Tirmidhi, Imam Anas ibn Malik narrates that the Messenger of Allah says, he describes in this narration the two sides, the one who's seeking the pleasures and the wealth and seeking this dunya solely for the dunya, solely and becoming heedlessness of Allah, right? And the Messenger of Allah describes him, and the Messenger of Allah also describes the one who seeks this dunya from the permissible of it for the sake of Allah, for the sake of their akhirah, in fulfillment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And he says, the one who, yani, one who makes his akhirah, the next life, his concern, Allah would make his, would put into his heart ghina, yani wealth, independence. Allah would give him the independence of heart, the ghina, al-ghina, ghina nafs, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Allah would make him feel satisfied in his heart. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ, and he would organize his affairs. He would make easy his affairs. وَآتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ, and the dunya would come to him even if it doesn't want to. Yani the dunya would be pulled to him against its own wishes. The one who makes his concern, the concern of the next life and seeking Allah's pleasure and reward, Allah would give them a satisfaction, a ghina, an independence, yani the wealth, the true wealth of the heart, that Allah would eliminate from them that curse and allow them to actually achieve what the people of this world are all trying to achieve. That satisfaction of the heart that everyone's chasing after, Allah would give it and put it into the heart, because only He can do it. As we heard, that this is innate in the human being. Allah created the human being with this desire of dunya. The more they desire it, the more they wish of it. And so Allah is the only one who would remove it. Who would have it removed? The one who makes their concern, the concern of the next life, Allah and His pleasure, and obeying His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions. Allah would put that wealth into the heart and organize their affairs and bring the dunya to them, even if it doesn't wish to. And the one, whoever makes this world their goal and makes this world their concern, the life of this world their concern, that person who makes their pursuit of this world for the sake of this world, for the pleasures of this world, in a state of heedlessness of Allah and His commands, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make faqr, would make poverty written between his eyes. Allah would put poverty written between his eyes, which is a rhetorical way of saying, yani, that no matter how far, no matter how hard they struggle, no matter how much effort they put in seeking this world, that poverty would continue to be rained right across their forehead. They'd never be able to get free from it, right? وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ, and Allah would cause his affairs to be scattered. They would never have their life in this world to be settled, to be peaceful, to be fulfilled. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدَّرَ لَهُ, and even with all that struggle they're doing and all of that hardship, they're still never going to get in the end except what Allah had decreed for them. That Allah had decreed and written for each one of us before we were born, our risk in this world, what we would attain of the wealth of this world. And no one would get except what they attained. So the one who gives all of that struggle and effort and all of that destruction in the end, they're not going to gain anything that except that which all was written for them. So this is how, you see how the Messenger of Allah, this connecting this, this heedlessness, seeking of this world with heedlessness and forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His command, how it is connected there with poverty, and is connected there with anxiety and stress and concern. And there is a connection between them, because that is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being. And it would not be removed except for the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes it for. So the people of Allah, they say the one who loves this world, in this state of heedlessness, will never be free from three things: hammun lazimun, wa ta'ibun da'imun, wa hasratun la tanqadi. The one who loves this world in this state of heedlessness, they would have persistent anxiety. They'll never be free of their anxiety, right? Why? Because you see the people of this world the way they are. How much wealth they have, the more wealth they acquire, all it does is increase them in anxiety. Is my account going to, am I going to lose tomorrow? Is the market going to go down tomorrow? My holdings, how are they doing? You find the people, they have so much wealth, right? And they're constantly in this state, having to check their accounts, having to check their balances, right? Because they want to maintain it and increase it, right? So it does in the end, it creates for them more and more anxiety. The more wealth they attain, the more anxious and stressful they get out over trying to keep that wealth and trying to increase that wealth. and trying to protect that wealth from all of the jealous and all of the competitors and all of the other people who are seeking to get it from them, right? So the one who loves this world with this heedlessness, they'd never be free from persistent anxiety. وَتَعِبٌ دَائِمٌ, constant fatigue. Constant fatigue. Because as you know, in this world, يعني, the overwhelming majority, the default state of Bani Adam, the people of this world, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, is that they are in pursuit of this world. They are in severe competition for this world. So no one's going to acquire it except with immense fatigue, and they're going to be tired. They're going to be worn out all the time, right? وَحَسْرَةٌ لَا تَنْقَدِي, and never-ending regrets. Never-ending regrets. If only I had made that investment at that time. If only I had been in that position in that time. If only I had gotten into that position. If I only had made that purchase. If I only had done this or done that. Look at where I could have been, right? Even if they acquired the dunya, all they get is that regrets about what they could have had to achieve more, right? So this is the state of the people who seek this dunya, and they never free themselves from that curse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on this dunya, right? They would be in this state, and they would continue in this state until it destroys them. And so if you reflect upon this fact that Abu Jahl, Fir'aun hadhi al-ummah, the Pharaoh of this ummah, Abu Jahl, right, who the greatest enemy of Islam in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he deny the religion of Islam, deny the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he did not believe in him? No, it comes clearly in the Sirah and in the books of Sirah and the books of Hadith that when they asked Abu Jahl, "What do you say about this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you see him as a liar?" And Abu Jahl replies, "Ma kadhiba qat. Wa kunna nusammihi al-amin." He has never lied in his life. This is Abu Jahl saying, the greatest enemy of Islam, right? And the one to his last breath was yani carrying the banner of animosity to Allah and His Messenger. He says about this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never lied in his life. And before we used to call him al-amin, the trustworthy. But then what answer does he give then? You know him to be true. You know him to be a truthful man. What is the barrier? What's preventing you from accepting his message and you know he's a truthful man? Right? He says, إِذَا كَانَ فِي بَنِي هَاشِمْ أَسْسِقَايَ وَالْرِفَادَ ثُمَّ تَكُونُ فِيهِمَ النَّبُوَّةِ فَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ لِبَنِي مَخْزُومٍ. This is what comes in the books of Sirah. Yani, this Abu Jahl was from a clan of Quraysh known as Bani Makhzum. Okay, and that clan was in constant competition with Bani Hashim, the Prophet ﷺ's clan. They were constant in competition for, because you know the Quraysh were the caretakers of Mecca and the Kaaba of Mecca, which was the center of the Arabian Peninsula, that the Arab tribes would all come there for their Hajj even before Islam. And Quraysh had the honor of receiving those Hujjaj even before Islam. And Quraysh, the clans of Quraysh, used to vie over serving the Hujjaj in different ways because that was a great honor in front of all of the Arabs. So Bani Hashim was given as-siqaya wa rifada, the honor of giving the Hujjaj water to drink and giving them food to eat throughout their Hajj. To serve them with food and drink throughout their Hajj, that honor was in Bani Hashim. And it was an incredible honor they had in the eyes of all of the Arab people of the peninsula. And Bani Makhzum had this hasad over it. They were in competition with Bani Hashim over it. So this is the answer. Think about it and reflect upon the fact. What prevented the greatest, what was the core cause for the greatest enemy of Islam that existed, and who's known as Fir'aun of this ummah, the Pharaoh of this ummah? It was not some lack of, he didn't believe in the message, he didn't believe in the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't see in him the signs of prophecy, he didn't see in this religion the truth. All of that he saw. But ultimately the barrier that was placed on his heart was a barrier springing forth and coming from love of this world. This competition that they had with Bani Hashim and Bani Makhzum, that they could not accept that the prophecy as well. They already have all of these honors amongst the Arabs, and now we're gonna submit to them having a prophet amongst them as well. We could never submit to that. You see what how the love of this world, where it leads to, how ultimately, it leads to a person desiring more, and they get more, and then they want more, and they get more. and it continues like that, pulling them in heedlessness until they reach a point where, wal'a'udhu billah, their heart becomes completely sealed. And even to the point where the truth is manifest in front of their eyes and they can acknowledge it as truth, they still can't accept it. The seal has become so severe. What causes it to that extent? It's hubb ad-dunya. It's the love of this world, right? And so, he gives to you, Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad, this reminder in this section, and he gives to you the story of Sayyidina Imam Ibrahim ibn Adham and how he saw that man, and how Ibrahim ibn Adham was a king and was from a family of nobles, and how he, reflecting upon the life of this world and how all of this palace and all of this wealth did not achieve for him that tranquility that he's seeking, and seeing this faqir, seeing this this poor bereft Sufi person, zahid person, turning away from the world, and the tranquility and peace that he saw on that person, how that opened his heart. So reflect upon this, reflect upon us, because we here in this country have to acknowledge and recognize we are living in one of the wealthiest societies on earth. Right? There is poverty here and there, but that's true. But compared to the vast majority of people on earth, we live a life of absolute luxury and comfort, the majority of us here here in this country. Right? And so we should reflect upon the fact about how much does that wealth and comfort and luxuries that we experience here in our lives here in this country, how much does it actually bring to people of tranquility? Do we find those around us, from Muslims or non-Muslims, do we find them in their lives, in their household, amongst their families, in their jobs, in their schools, in wherever they are, do we find them in a state of tranquility, in a state of peace? Or do we find them in the state like that curse, right? Right, like the curse, the wish of the monkey's paw that only brings, in the end, despite you getting that wish of those luxuries, that it only brings to the heart, sorrow and grief and anxiety and depression, right? And jealousy and disputes and breaking up of families, right? And all of these things. Which of the two do we see manifest more in the society in which we live? We should reflect upon that fact day in and day out, because you see how it's become a means for the opening of hearts, how it opened up the hearts of one of the greatest people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Imam Ibrahim ibn Adham. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have this dunya in our hands but not in our hearts, that we control it, that we seek it only for His pleasure, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be saved from the curse of this dunya, to allow us to achieve what we need of this dunya for the sake of our akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see the truth as truth and have the success to follow it, and see falsehood as falsehood, and to be saved from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad, the best of rewards, and all of the rightly guided scholars of Islam, and all of our teachers and mashayikh, the best of rewards. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise up the ranks in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return upon us from their knowledge and their blessings and their wisdoms and their light. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficial knowledge and righteous action upon that knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us long life in the worship of Him, in the service of this religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to dispel from us and all of the believers all types of tribulations, hardships, calamities, and illnesses, and allow us to leave this world on the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi khayrin wa lutfin wa afiyah, wa ila hadrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Fatiha.